anything physical in our worship of him, right? Like the golden calf was a terrible affair, it was a physical object, right? Then how is it that he asks us to bring karbanos? That's the question, right? Okay. Let me see if I can elaborate more on what you're saying. In other words, I guess, in regard to the object of the Creator, there is not allowed to be, if we could say such a thing as the object of the Creator. Of course, every time we use regard to the Creator is borrowed from the external world, so we have to be careful. Say the object of the Creator, the entity of the Creator. But every idea that we have of object and entity is nothing like the Creator, because it's a physical, it has physical properties. But I'm just using the word, you know, as a homonym, homonymously, okay? Therefore, anything that has to do with the entity of the Creator cannot have any physical properties, cannot be a physical object. That's why Avodah Zarah is outruled. Because to have that as a physical object would mean that the way to reach the Creator is through the senses, that he has some physical property, and we reach him through that physical property. So that would be Avodah Zarah. See? Because the only way to reach God is through the non-physical. However, as a means of reaching God, we can use physical objects. As a means of reaching him, we can use physical objects. But insofar as he is concerned, we cannot use any physical objects. That's the difference between Yadis and any other type of worship. That's why the Egel Azav was good. Because Egel Azav was an attempt to say that we could perceive and we could reach God through physical means. once you have a physical God, like you take an eagle and you make it into a God, physical thing, what you're saying is that you perceive the Creator through physical sense. Now why do these Avodah Zarah want to have images? You know why they want to have images? Because they want to be able, a lot of them, the Rambam says, did not even believe that the physical images have any power. They don't want to stupid, see? But they said, we'll make a physical image in order that we should have an awareness of God. But the awareness of God is coming about through physical perception, because when you perceive that idol, you feel God. You feel God's there. Now that's wrong, because what you're saying is that perception of God is through a physical way. See, through a physical or emotional way. See, this is Avodah Zarah. The Torah says, no, that perception, a Jew must recognize always, that perception of God must be totally through the, in other words, our relationship to God must be only through the intellectual. Not at all through the imaginary. Not at all through the emotional or physical. So therefore, anything, if we have an entity that represents God, which is physical, if a person does that, a person should do that, then what he's doing is, he's attempting to be secure that God is here through his physical perceptions. Which means that he perceives God's existence via physical perceptions. And that's Avodah Zarah. And that's why Yadlis is such a difficult religion. Because people, by nature, look for that satisfaction. You see, they look for that satisfaction. Why does primitive man make idols? Because it's nothing more than a projected father image. So they're used to the father in youth, and they have to have an image. So what they do is they create these idols, which give them that security, that emotional security. You see? That's why a lot of people who believe, for instance, in a Rebbe, a Hasidic Rebbe, for instance, to the degree that they maintain that this Rebbe is to endow with tremendous powers and things like that, this type of deification of an individual, you see, is borders on Avodah Zarah. Because what you're saying is that you could perceive, some people feel that they could see God through the Rebbe. And that's really bad. See? Because what you're saying is that you have a certain emotional relationship to this Rebbe, which to you convinces you that God exists, which means you're actually perceiving God through your physical senses, through your emotional senses. That's Avodah Zarah. No, I'll do that.
See, Lubavitch did do something like that?
Right? You know what I'm saying? See, that is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is any attempt to perceive God in terms in any physical way. But you can use physical means to awaken your true relationship with God. You know what I mean? Like a person, like the Kuzri says, the Beis HaMikdash. It's a tremendously inspiring place. You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you got inspired. It was a physical thing, you see? But the inspiration was supposed to lead you to a communication with God of the non-physical. You see? That's what the inspiration was for. But if you have something that directly used to perceive God or to make his existence any more real in your mind, through any physical thing, then that's avodah zarah. That's completely off the derech haTorah. And that's why the whole Torah is anti avodah zarah. So many times against avodah zarah. Not just avodah zarah worshiping another god, but even a representation of God Himself. Lo sasun iti Elohei chesef Elohei zarah. Don't make for me gods of silver and gods of gold. The Egel HaZov is a good example. What do they say? They said, Eilo Lehecha Yisrael HaSharetz Yisrael HaSharetz. This is your God that took out Israel. They didn't really believe that this is a thing. They said, this is a representation of God who took out of Israel. Here we have something physical. Now we could feel secure. That's what they said. They said Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. See, they perceived Moshe Rabbeinu in the wrong way. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. And now what do we have here to give us that physical security? So they said, we'll build something to represent this, so we'll never forget it. We'll always be reminded that God is here. But that was the worst sin. Why was it the worst sin? Because it was an attempt to perceive God through the physical. Truth of the matter is that the Luchas, that's how Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas. One time he said that, Chuck. Because they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was going up to get Luchas, and the Luchas they looked at as the physical representation. You see, that's what they wanted. So they were waiting for those Luchas. See? But the Luchas would have been Maisa Elokim. It was carved out directly by God's will, you see? So therefore they wanted that in order that they would use that as a means to perceive God. Hey, look, you see those luchos? That was carved out by God's action. Oh, now we really can believe in God. So the physical would have been used as a means to perceive God. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu took them and he smashed them when he saw it.
Why was he smashed them?
Yeah, you see, the thing is, you can't say blame.
This was swipe.
Yeah, but the Gemara says that the Erev Rav is the one that... So you have to realize this. When you say they were smart, first of all, it says that they were Mentas Sharetum before they went out of Mitzrayim. And of course, there were a lot of Chachamim, but there always are the masses of people. Now, you always have the masses of people in every generation.
Okay?
Yeah. And then also it says the Erev Rav is the one that started it. The Egyptians that went out, or the Jews, that were Magi.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why were they the ones that started? Because they were used to physical perception, because they were raised on avodah zarah. So he says, "Early youth, you follow." So that's why. So they were used to this type of thing.
Then they got the other Jews to go along with it.
Right, that's right. They got the other ones to go along with, and awaken their own emotions. Okay, awaken your own emotions. All right. Now the truth of that is an interesting Rambam in the Mar Avuchim. I'm not going to, It caused a lot of debate. I'm not here to pass any judgment on it, but I'll tell you what it is. My Rambam maintains that the reason why there's halachas of kavanas, you see, is really because of avodah zarah. In order to uproot the desire for avodah zarah, and to use the kavanas for God, but he seems to say that if it wasn't for the fact that kavanas was used by the Egyptians, by the other nations before, then we wouldn't have kavanas. We wouldn't need kavanas. See? They ask a lot of questions on the Rambam. It's not an easy Rambam to accept. Because we always say, we ask God to come back to kavanas. If we outgrew the need for kavanas, what do we have to come back to before? A lot of kashas on the Rambam. I'm just mentioning the Raga Rocha. The Rambam will probably say that it gives vent to certain, it takes certain primitive emotions in man and directs them in a proper way. See? That's what the Rambam would hold. Okay. You know what I mean? But that was a big machlokes among the Chachmei Yisrael, the reason the Rambam gave. But the idea, the whole principle, the basic principle of Torah is, that's the whole idea. Well, why is our God different than the other gods of the nations? Our God is different because the whole Torah says one thing. Basically, one fundamental principle is clear through the Torah. Namely, that God is not perceivable by the senses. The only way you can relate to God is through the activity of the soul, through the abstract activity, and not through any emotional or any physical type of experience. That's the basis of the whole Torah. That's why it says Kilo Re'isim Kol Tumuna. You didn't see any picture beyond any image beyond Dibra Hashem Machem Ba'esh. You talk the pasuk over there in the Dvar. So you see, the whole purpose of the Torah is anti-avodah zarah. That's the whole purpose of the Torah. That's the real concept of Achdus Ad Hashem. You know, the oneness of God, the unity of God. Because his unity is based on the fact that he's non-physical. And of course, when they say that other nations, monotheism, they want to trace monotheism back to Egypt. You know, they want to say that there was a different, there was one of the pharaohs that believed in monotheism. It has, that monotheism has nothing to do, it's different monotheism, it has nothing to do with our monotheism. That monotheism is an accidental monotheism. In other words, there could be many gods, and there could be one, so this pharaoh happened to worship one. It's not monotheism, one is one. Our monotheism is based on the fact that God is non-physical. That's what the monotheism is based on. He's a non-physical entity which cannot be subdivided. You can't divide him into components because he's non-physical. It's a different kind of monotheism. You know what I mean? That monotheism that the pharaohs had, that pharaoh had, was not the monotheism, our monotheism. That was a monotheism, physical monotheism. Just that, instead of having ten, he has one. Yeah, so what if you have two, if you have three, if you have one? Well, it's a big idea that no one ever thought of having one before. I mean, that's not the big thing. The monotheism, our monotheism is a different kind. It's an the invisible God. It's a God not that which is not of the senses. So, like, they want to say the Maya in South America, that they also had monotheism. You know, they have one of the kings over there that had monotheism. Yeah, but that monotheism is nothing. It wasn't as say 5 or 6 or 10 or 1. I mean, it's not a question of throwing up numbers there. Yeah. Different idea altogether. Right? Total, it's a total mistake. Of course, the world is always ready to give us credit for everything.
Yeah.
So naturally they, they will, of course, immediately anything that has any appearance, any similarity, yes, they're there. Yeah. But the fact remains, there is no comparison whatsoever between our idea of monotheism and the Wahhabdili primitive tribes or any Galician idea of monotheism. The Christians don't have monotheism. The Kuzmi speaks about this question. What I said is just an elaboration on what the Kuzmi says. Okay?